At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
He's got, I like his mindset, man.
You know what?
And I like the burning of the money thing. Too.
I just thought of this conversation. We should start a bad guy school.
A bad guy school?
Yeah, because look, all the bad guys, they do bad guy stuff. They got bad guys, gadgets and cool stuff.
Yeah.
Where did they learn to do that stuff? From bad guy school.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right. We should start
They doing that shit in their fucking basements because they know they do that shit in public. Somebody call the cops on them.
But not a bad guy.
Listen up.
That kind of bad guy.
You can make ninja stars with the top of soup cans. Okay, I used to do it.
I don't like weapons.
Those aren't sharp. They cut you. I fucking cut my shit on those.
Shrankings.
Yeah, they bleed. Make you don't have weapons?
No.
I got an AR-15.
Oh, shit. Well, no, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
You can make some nunchucks with a rope and a broken broom handle.
Yes,
sir. Oh, I got nunchucks. I just remembered.
You probably bought them.
They're the soft ones. Yeah, I went to Chinatown and I got them. They're like, really cheap. Like
you said soft ones?
Yeah, they're soft ones. So you can hit yourself with them.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. That's like the homie. They look cool.
Why don't you just do it with a towel?
I should get on stage with them. I'm sorry. I was thinking.
Yeah, you should have one of them. Like, this is for all y'all professional open mic.
I've been practicing.
Yeah.
So, if they did a concert, who would you open up for? Like, what style is yours that will fit the bill? You understand the question making sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's crazy because I got so much versatility that I could rock with all of them, man.
Okay.
I could rock with all of them. I think that I could get out with each one of them artists. You know what I mean? Because my style's so, versatile.
Okay. That's what's up.
Hey, you want to get a water?
Man, I would love a water, man.
Go ahead and bounce and get. Yeah, thanks. Okay. I see him licking his lips,
man,
people.
I ain't got no spit in here, man.
I see him over here dying, boy. Yeah, man, I'm over here sipping, boy. I know that I've been driving out, man. I come prepared. We're trying to get some shit where we got some Midnight Paco fucking label one. So you got some legit ass shit, but we, budget on that shit.
Hey, man.
I apologize for not offering it to you.
Man,
damn, look at that. But we come correct, people. When I see the guest in need, it comes. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you going.
Oh, no problem.
I was going to get up, but I didn't want to mess up the background.
No.
You're closer.
I don't know, man. I was talking crap like, yeah, we got girls, chicken, and stuff like that.
Yeah, we had all that shit ready.
I was like, we got chicken, girls.
But he locked it in the goddamn bathroom.
Hell
yeah. It's dog, boy. You don't need. This almost didn't happen, people. You don't even know what went on behind the scenes. You don't keep it personal. But just so you know, God is good.
And I've always been impressed with people that do voices. And some of my favorites are Peter Cullen, That's the guy that did Optimus Prime, Mel Blanc, the guy that, you know, from Looney Tunes, of course. And Tim Conway, he's from here too. And Dawes Butler, I just love his voice. Did you have any experience working with those guys? Oh, and now I'm happy to know that I'm speaking to you, and you're on that list too, by the way, because I'm blown away by people that do impressions and do them well. And yeah, and I'm honored to meet you.
Thank you.
Have you ever worked with any of those people? I know they're probably older, but have you ever?
No, unfortunately, they're older. But I, growing up as a kid, Mel Blanc was my guy.
Okay. And
I have imitated a lot of Pip stuff.
Yeah, you can see I'm wearing a Bugs Bunny shirt right now.
Absolutely.
Look, I keep it real.
Myself, Jack.
I got the Star Wars right here for you.
Oh, that's a great shirt. That is an excellent shirt. I love that.
Just thinking about Mr. Blanc, the way he did voices, like Bugs Bunny, he sounded like he had like a Brooklyn accent. For him to go to like Bugs Bunny and then do Froghorn Leghorn, that was very impressive. I wanted to know like where you get these from. Because sometimes your voices, even the ones you create, they come from somebody. You're imitating somebody. So I'm just curious, like, where would he get some of those voices? Where do you get some of your voices from your character?
Well, usually when they when you're auditioning for a voice, what you do is you look at the character, I should say, and that will give you clues, you know, whether they're a big person or they're small, and then you try and find a note, and then you add some texture to your voice, and then eventually you come up with something. Or sometimes the company will, or the studio will come up with a suggestion, okay. And they'll say, okay, for example, the first show I worked on was Hello Kitty, Fairy Tale Theater.
Okay.
And there was this dog they wanted a voice for. His name was Grinder. And the reference that they gave me was Fred Gwynne, who was Herman Munster and Car 54.
Oh, right.
A character on Car 54. So, and he when he got excited, he would go, oh. So I kind of dumbed it up a little bit, and I put oh in there. Yeah. So his name was Grinder, and he got really excited. He was happy, and hi everybody, hi Kitty. So that was the first voice that I worked on. Yeah, Hello Kitty. And then after a year, they came up to me, and the director said to me, "How would you like to direct?" I go, "What?" They said, "Well, you know." You know, you've got a feel for this. I mean, you studied this, and you know how storyboards work and that. I think you'd be really good at this, because they were tired of sending out people. You know, it costs a lot of money to send somebody up every week from Los Angeles up to Toronto. So I got to direct cartoon shows as well. And I worked on Cops. I directed Super Mario Brothers, Super Show, and... just the animated portions.
Okay.
Know? Yeah, Legend of Zelda. A lot of the video game stuff was that was out in the 80s, late 80s and early 90s.
Okay. Yeah, that was the best times growing up there.
It really was. And then the government stuck their damn nose in and closed everything down. You couldn't advertise to kids. And all of those restrictions that came in literally killed Saturday morning.
Really?
It was a great, what a great time. But fortunately, we have whole networks that are dedicated to animation now. Yeah. And animation is really making a comeback. So it's really an exciting.
It's like when you ready, you can't wait until you find the Mrs. Right to control your life. You know what I'm saying? To put the ball and chain on you. Like, Cordell, where you going? Where you going, Cordell the Great? You ain't going nowhere without me. Who gonna be on a podcast night? Who gonna be up there with Paco and them? Who gonna be up there with them? I heard Brawl was in there the other time.
Shit.
You better hurry up. I gotta see this. You know what I mean? So you gonna, when you get to that point, you're gonna be like, I love her. She crazy. You know what I'm saying? Cause you know y'all men love crazy women. I think what's gonna do it for him, she gonna have to bust a window and stab a tire, not both tires, maybe just
you
one.
You don't want that problems. You don't want them problems.
But they'll be in love.
He'll be in love then, probably.
No.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
What type of woman you looking for?
Ooh.
Questions.
All right.
Yeah, we got to figure this out. What type of woman he want?
Tell us.
No ashy feet. You got to have real hair, bitch. I don't like fake hair touching me. Like, watch this. Look at him. You better not come out here with no ashy feet.
That's hilarious.
Look, bitch, I'm gonna see your house shoes. Let me see my house shoes. Why you got old ass house shoes? Right, you got crack flakes in there.
You see, I came out there with sweatpants.
Cut it out.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't even answer. Go ahead.
You pretty much summed it up.
Okay. Here. For real. Okay. For real. This time. So what is you looking for?
Waiting on it.
Right. He don't know yet.
Yeah.
He'll find it. He'll know when he find it.
Right. Mm-hmm. See.
Right. You just can't have ashy feet and fake hair. You know what I'm saying?
Or get nauseous.
Right. You have to know how to suck dick. I'm telling you. Sucking dick is part of the package, right?
No gag reflex.
No, the kid got to be grown right.
So, who are some of your comedic influences?
Rest in power, Charlie Murphy. I was at the show when he got booed off stage.
Oh, wow.
He was here?
He came here and got, when he got booed off stage, it was here in Cleveland.
Wow. Really?
Mike Epps, Charlie Murphy, and what's my girl's name? I think her name's Shantae or something like that.
Shantae.
Not Shantae. What's her name?
Some more?
No, she was she's very funny.
Some more's funny.
No. Some more is funny. But she was like, I can't think of her name right now, but at the time she was a heavyset woman and very funny. And I wanted to for Charlie Murphy to finish because he said, I already got paid. Charlie Murphy. He was like, shit, you know, look, I already got paid. So, you know, do my shit, or, you know, that's what he said.
Well, I mean, but he wasn't funny.
So on the
Chappelle
show, he told stories.
Yeah,
he wasn't boo-doo-doo-doo. It was storytelling.
Yeah.
So he's still the same way, I would imagine.
He was the same way.
Yeah.
When he passed, but I'm just saying, like on stage, he was doing the same thing, and Cleveland wasn't having it. We talking about, this is the city that threw bottles and shit at Tupac and Bells, okay?
Jesus. All right.
I saw a video when Ludacris.
They did not shout out to boo. They didn't boo Luda.
They were throwing everything at that. They were throwing fantasy. Cleveland is rough.
Oh my God.
He was like, lick. Yo, fantasy. Shout out to Ludacris. I like Ludacris.
That's my dog, man.
I love Ludacris.
Probably,
he's a part of my top five rappers.
Okay. I can dig that. I respect that. But Cleveland is rough, man. Cleveland is rough when it comes to the performers.
Wow.
So it's like, everybody knows that Cleveland be like, I'm coming to the club. You better make me laugh. And if I do laugh, I'm going to be done in a minute. And I'm on something else. Yeah. Make me laugh. I paid for a comedy show. Ha, ha, ha. What else you got?
Yeah, that's so funny.
That's how we are, man.
I was driving a sweeper truck, and I started watching, you know, podcasts. And, I always wanted to do comedy. And, never knew how to get into it. And I started looking up tips on comedy, and yours popped up. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah, it's dope. So I started watching you. You know, like I said, people, he's done many interviews, a lot of good people too. You got a fire list of interviews on there.
You know, I mean, we do what it do. Exactly.
So you're based out of Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I'm based out of Atlanta. Yeah, and that's the thing I think I've learned from doing so many interviews and like with some of the names I've gotten is that I've learned that comics like helping comics. You know, at the end of the day, we're like in our world, it's a big world in our heads. But, you know, most people haven't heard of Mark Norman or whatever, you know, when you get outside of comedy. So within comedy, there is a camaraderie here that I think me doing the podcast has really exposed and shown that, like, no matter how famous someone gets, that they're still willing to help out. And you just never know how far asking will go. So even for your podcast, it's like you just never know asking who's going to say yes or not.
Definitely. And like I said, appreciate it because you were one of the people that got me, like I said, the information I was looking for. You know what I mean? And that's that's what I'm hoping. And I watched, I think it was the last one. I forget the name of the guest, but you were talking, you were kind of down on yourself as far as where your podcast is going.
I mean, I'm like anyone else, you know, like I want to be rich and famous. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not immune to those feelings and having to remind myself of gratitude and thinking about where I am and think about what I have instead of like what I don't have. You know, I've had to battle that my whole career from why did they book that gig or how did they get on that flyer? Why doesn't the comedy club book me on the weekends? You know, it's like, I've always had to battle that mindset of like, why not more? Why not more? And you know, I've been doing it 12 years. So even me, that interview you're talking about, the thing about I've done the podcast for like 5 years. So there are several documented examples of me talking to certain people. And like, I interviewed a club owner and like the first question I ask is, why don't you book me more? Like, you know, I've done so.
You just went around in, huh? We're like, so why don't you book me, Mom?
I mean, you know, you got to go for it sometimes. But I can sometimes get down on myself like anyone can. But I think the community around the podcast and meeting comics like y'all and realizing, yo, yeah, I mean, you're not Joe Rogan. Why would you want to be Joe Rogan? It's like you have a dope podcast with like a lot of dope listeners. And it's the whole goal of the podcast is to be a supportive and positive environment for comedians, and it is that, and I need to remember that. And speaking to comics like y'all who are like, no, what you're doing is helping, and I can say these intentions all the time of I want this podcast to help up and coming comedians and aspiring comedians, but I'll still fall back into that, like, but you know, why am I not in a Kevin Hart movie? You know, where's mine? You know, so it's just constant gratitude is what I have to keep reminding myself. And on that day, I think the Hot Breathiverse caught me they caught me slipping a little bit there, Justin. So I appreciate you calling me out on it.
No, I just want you. Yeah. Like you said, is just remember that what you're doing is solid. And I even told my buddy Cordell, I was like, you know, cause he's always one like, nah, we're going to got to keep that quiet. And I'm like, man, the goal is to share information. And you say that all the time. It's all about how you do it, you know, about the sauce, right?
The sauce. Yeah, it's the sauce, different chefs. And you got to realize that most people aren't going to do the work. So I've only had a few comics like maybe that like held back or were kind of like, oh, I don't want to get into that, like give away everything. But it's like most people aren't going to do the work. It's like you can tell them, you can give them the map, but, you know, they still have to hit the trails, like they still have to go do the work. So the more information, the better. But, you know, only a few people are actually going to execute and do the work. And that's fine. You know, if you want to listen to the podcast just to learn how the sauce is made and really just get that insight into the comedy process of your favorite comics, go for it. Like, comedy is definitely, you know, I say it, it's a dream job if you hate money. You know, I mean, it is really a grind. And it requires a lot of commitment and sacrifice that I totally am empathetic to people who aspire, but it just doesn't quite work out or fit their schedule or their current lifestyle. Like, it's comedy is no joke, man. It is a grind. And I'm just hoping the podcast gives people that perspective and reality check, but also the tools to succeed at that grind if they're willing to put in the work.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.